can always tell old school saints, you know, they know that when you're praying or reading, you're supposed to stop. You know, that's old school there. God, our Father, we are exceptionally happy and very well pleased, Lord, that you've given us again the opportunity to enter into this sacred place and to hear what you are saying to the church. We thank you, God, again for keeping us through the watches of the night. And certainly, God, that you've given us a reasonable portion of health and strength. We are here, Lord. And Lord, we know that your presence is everlasting to everlasting. We know that you are here. And Lord, we have come again to sit symbolically at your feet. Spiritually, we're at your feet. And God, we know that when we sit at your feet, your voice will rain down upon us. And God, we will know the way of life. We pray, God, that others would take interest and join with us. We pray, God, for an overflow of understanding. For certainly, Lord, that what we hear, we need to understand. And God, give us clarity and understanding. Give us, Lord, that wisdom and knowledge that we so greatly need in these times, that we would be able, Lord, to speak as oracles of God, that others would hear not only the pastor, but hear the people. And God, we pray that as we come up, we'll come up together. And Lord, that we would be stronger in our unity, stronger, Lord, in our compliance, and stronger in our comprehension of the word. Because what we know, we can live. And God, we seek after you. So God, we pray these prayers, knowing that you will hear and answer us. We pray, God, that you would again forgive us of our sins. God, have mercy on us. And God, let us today again be a shining light that someone would see, and God, that they would ask that question, what must I do to be saved? Save your children today, for it is your will concerning us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you. Thank you again for being with us. My page to flip. There we go. Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. We want to go to the 8th chapter, the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to start our continuing conversation again. How much I indeed love coming on Sunday morning to talk to you about God. And I pray, God, that you look forward to being here to hear what I'm going to say about God. Again, we were talking about being fruitful and talking about harvest and understanding that you are indeed a most critical part of what happens in this vineyard. We talked about last week that we've got to receive the word of God. And again, this is where we do it. This is where we open up that dialogue and we talk about God. It's just like in any other part of your life. Every one of you, being different people, have places that you go to get what you want, and you know where to get the best. You know, if you talk to somebody, I know some of us have traveled on business and stuff like that, and hotels have the concierge, and you can ask, not all of them, you stay at the right hotel, they have one, you don't, you on your own, but you can go down there and ask them, you know, where's the best place to get a steak, and they'll say, oh, if you want the best steak in town, you go here, and, you know, where's the best place to get a Chicago-style pizza, you know, that kind of, and they'll tell you. But it's based on their own experience or something they've heard. Well, same thing is what God is doing to us in the church. He's trying to make us a reference point. When people ask us about the ministry or about church, or about communion or about biblical principle, we can say, you know what? This is what God says. And if they say to us, you know, how do you know? Because I live that. And again, that's why the Bible tells you to let your light so shine that men would see. So it has a lot to do with how we reference and how we know. And again, if you want to be the best witness, you've got to be an eyewitness. So what God is saying to us is, again, learn of me, live, listen, let me lead you, and you're going to be tremendous, and then you'll become fruitful. Again, if you had to make an estimation of your own fruitfulness, what would you say of yourself? Because, again, if you don't believe it, for yourself, you're not going to be able to convince us. And if you there's an old saying, and our educators know that, you can't teach what you haven't been taught. And so, again, for us to receive the word of God, and again, what we were talking about last week, Jesus told them, you got to take heed to what you hear. Amen. Anybody in this room that has ever been around a small child knows exactly what Mark 4 means. Take heed to what you hear. Everybody who knows anything about being around small children know you better watch what you say. Because when you say it, they hear it, and they figured if you said it, they can say it too. And you know what's interesting? They know the right content or context to say it in. Because they know when you said it. We were watching television the other night, watching a movie. And Cedric was there with us, Mr. Ears, Eyes, and Know It All. And every time they said something, he said, bad word. He shouldn't say that. Every time they said something, you know, it was a movie. I didn't make the movie. I was just watching it. Don't y'all look at me that way. But every time they said, he said, bad word, granddaddy. Don't say that. He kept saying it. And then he started saying, he going to get a spanking. Because that's what we tell him. You say that again, you're going to get a spanking. And because he's around people. He's not around me all the time. He's around his dad and his dad's friends and his mama's friends. And I know that young folk and everybody else say what they say. But he hears it. And he knows exactly when to say it. He dropped his cup the other day and he knew exactly what fits when you drop a cup. And I looked at him and said, what'd you just say? And he said it right back to him. I said, don't you say that. And then he said, say something else. Because that's what my wife starts telling me. She said, you say something else. She said, you say, oh, my gosh. So now he does a couple of, oh, my gosh. And then every now and then, he figures, nah, that ain't deep enough. And so we got to take heed because, again, on your job, in that cubicle over next to you, they hear you. In your car, when you're driving, your kids, you think they're back there playing on that phone and their games and not. They hear you. On the phone, they hear you. Walking down the hallway, they hear you. Even in our church, you know, people hear you. And so they're taking heed to what they hear from you. And also, again, I was just talking with Deacon Davis about this. This is why we press so much about coming to Christian education and training. Because in this environment, it is important to me that you hear what's going to help you. So he said, you got to take heed. And then you got to make sure that you receive it in the right spirit. Those of us who've been in any place where we had to learn know that there are hard learning days. There are receptive learning days. There are defiant learning days. In other words, when you're in that room and you don't want to be there. So, no matter what they teach, you're going to miss most of it. Make me go to a mandatory training. Got to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning sitting there with this craziness. And the poor person up there doing their job. And you're sitting there the whole time going, you know what, this is just stupid. I could be at my desk doing. You didn't learn nothing that day. They flew you all the way to Chicago to go to training, and you wanted to go to Chicago so you can try Chicago pizza and Chicago steak and Cubs and White Sox. And you go to training thinking, boy, when this is over, or you flake out on the training, you ain't learning nothing. And you get back and say, well, how'd the training go? Man, that was great. I signed up to go back next year because you've been on the tour. And we do that a lot of times in the church. Some of us, especially our leaders, come here. If I don't go, I've got to hear it from the pastor. I might as well go. I can sit through it for an hour. You know, we already made our minds up. Okay, let me just get through this, and then I'll get through that, and then I can go home. We ain't learning nothing. So how you receive it matters. And if we're receiving it with the intent to grow, it's going to be nourishing to us. I was sitting there again talking to Deacon Davis this morning. He comes by and talks to me every morning. I don't mind. I enjoy it. Telling him, I went to an ordination service yesterday and was telling him, I said, you know, the things they asked me at my ordination, I still remember. I remember how I gave my answers. And I remember it because it mattered to me. And so when you don't receive it in the right spirit, it's not going to make a difference to you. You're not going to walk out of here saying, you know what, man, Pastor said something from Mark 4 today. And you don't, you may not necessarily remember it came from Mark, but you can say, you know what, the Bible says. And it's important for us. And Jesus makes this clear. that you've got to do this. Now, watch what he says happens in Luke 8. Right? Got to take heed now. Watch this. He says this in Luke 8. And I want you to come to verse 16. This is, again, one of the highlight verses. And you got to remember this. The word of God will not work if you don't take heed to how you hear. It's not going to work if you don't receive it to make it work. You know, there's a sermon I preached some years ago, and the title of the sermon was, "It'll Work When You Work It." It'll work when you work it. And it will. I have gotten through the most critical times in my life, as well as the most casual and enjoyable times in my life, because of the Word of God. I know how to laugh in my seasons. I know how to get over my tears. I know how to be strong and put a good face on. I know how to be resilient. You know, we take that, and my preacher, I don't know, Reverend's not feeling well today, but the preachers will tell you. Paul says, "I've learned whatever state I'm in, therewith, that particular, to be content." That's a lot of preaching right there. There's a lot of mindsets that go with that. And if you learn how to look at that in your life, if you take that one verse, you will get through your whole life and do just fine. That I have learned, that's the key to it. He says it wasn't automatic. He said, "I had to learn that whatever was happening to me, I can handle it. I'm content." And content doesn't mean you don't cry. It don't mean you don't get frustrated. It just means that, you know what? Over the course of this event, I'm going to get it. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to settle down. You know, I'm going to learn because I've learned. And so when we ask ourselves about the Word of God, again, which is why, and I made a comment about it when Sister Walker was coming up the aisle and Deacon Campbell was coming that way. In the old church, whenever the Bible was being read or whenever we stopped because we wanted to not be a distraction. It wasn't really so much that we were, you know, caught between two places. It was just that we didn't want to be a distraction. We wanted to make sure that nothing kept people from getting the word. And so if we take heed to that, something's going to happen. Now watch what Jesus says. "No one would light a lamp and then cover it up and put it under a bed. No, lamps are mounted in the open where they can be seen by those entering the house." Okay, you can use that. "For everything that is hidden or secret will eventually be brought to light and made plain to all." So here it is. Here's the key. "So be sure to pay attention to what you hear. To those who are open to my teaching," now pay attention, this is Jesus, "more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening, even what they think they have will be taken away from them." Okay, we gave you that a little bit, but I want to go back and show you. He says you got to be open to it. He says, because if you open up to me, I'm going to open you up even more. How many of you have ever had a subject taught to you by one person and it was a little difficult? And then when another person taught it, you're like, "Oh, okay." Some of us have had tutors. A tutor can come in. And a lot of times it has to do with the level of reception to the learning matter. In other words, if there's a person you don't want to hear nothing from, it doesn't matter what they're teaching you, you're kind of not going to get it. But if somebody you like, you know, we all had our favorite teachers. You know, Miss So-and-so, and some of us, no matter how old we get, we'll always remember Miss So-and-so. "Oh, man, when I was Miss So-and-so." And you can watch people when they describe that environment or that encounter, how their countenance changes. If they mention Miss So-and-so, they go, "Oh, yeah, man." Or if they mention the other lady they didn't like, they'd be like, "Oh, man, that lady was tripping." And so whatever they tried to give us, we weren't going to get it. We got some of it, but we weren't. So Jesus says, if you open up to my teaching, you know what he's saying? I am the Word. It goes back to the gospel principle, doesn't it? In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. The Word became flesh. And see, one of the problems that the Pharisees and the publicans and the scribes and those groups had is it was Jesus. It was because it was him. No matter what he said, and he told him that, he said, "You know, you ask me stuff, but you really don't want the answer. You're just trying to trip me up. And we do that a lot of times in biblical training opportunities. We come to Bible study to trip up the teacher. Not none of you all. You all are wonderful people. But some people, because, oh, yeah, so-and-so, I'm going to show him. So we go, you know, we do a little commentary reading. And then so when they bring a point, we try to come up deep. Brother teacher, is he saying, while we're looking out at our commentary notes, because, you know, what Matthew was really saying, well, you don't even know Matthew's cousin. It's commentary challenges, I call them. And I always, my pastor taught me, and I learned a little bit, you know, whenever you get a commentary challenge, let them write their challenge out and say, however, as I was saying. Because don't play the game. Jesus says, open up to me, and I'll open you up. Challenging Jesus ain't going to get us nowhere. And challenging the word of God isn't going to change it. Well, why the Bible say that? I don't know why the Bible says it. I know it says it. It's not my job to explain everything in the Bible. It's to open you up to the Bible so you can say, you know what, God, that's a revelation. I don't know why God says certain things at a given time, but I do know that it's fruitful to me if I'll receive it to learn from it. So Jesus says, all right, you got to take heed. He said, because many of us are suffering from the tragic condition of hearing and not hearing. And it happened. Because we become so easy. Remember I told you about distractions, divisions, disagreements. Those things are always happening to us. In every setting, there's a distraction. There's a division. There's the level of disappointment. Are we going over that again? Which, you know, we're in our present series of prayer sermons. And that's why I keep giving them cute little titles like, really, another one? Because we get distracted. Oh, man, he ain't going to preach that again. So immediately, most of us ain't going to get nothing else because we've already decided, I don't want to hear that again. Come on, really? And the reality for us is, yeah, we do need to hear that again. We don't give exams. We don't do end-of-course training tests and that kind of stuff. But the reality is we're violators of biblical principle because we're not really listening to develop. So Jesus says, you open up to me. And he said, to be careful. Now watch it. He said, be sure to pay attention. Again, you learn, if you go to any of those training, you know, Brother Thomas, military people, remember, you know, military got a course for everything. So they teach you how to assume whether or not people listening to you, whether they look this way or down, you know, closed and open and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus is saying that in order to have life, you got to be sure that you're paying attention. You know, we used to hit on the desk in the military and stomp our feet and all that kind of stuff. Because if they start drifting, they're not going to pass the course test. And not passing the course test, to me, again, speaks a lot about teachers. You know, and not everybody agreed. We used to go to our briefing, you know, with command and TRADOC when TRADOC people come down. And I always believed that if your percentile of success is low, you might ought to look at your teaching skills. Because most of that military stuff written on the eighth grade level. And if they can't pass your course, that doesn't mean you are hard teaching, you great. No, that means you might be doing something wrong. Because we had instructors that thought it meant something because only 40% of their students passed their course. And I said, well, you do know that 60% of them fail. I'm just saying, you know, not everybody get back. I ain't easy. No, you might be doing this thing way bad because ultimately we need more of those guys out in the field rather than coming back again for retraining because you flunked them trying to be, you know, Mr. I don't have a 40%. Okay. The reality for us is we were not designed to fail at being lights and fruitful, evangelists, oracles. God wants to use all of us. So what good would it do us to hear and not hear? How are we going to continue to grow ministry if 75% of us are illiterate? As Paul said, my biggest prayer, my most concerning prayer to God is that my brothers, my company, my family not be ignorant concerning the things of God. He said, I pray that all the time. Lord, let them get smart about you. So what good is it going to do us in the church, in the body of Christ, if not all of our disciples, can hear and understand. If all of us are not paying attention, what good is it going to do us? How many of you remember being separated with the smart kids versus the not so smart, or the A kids? And did you like that? You sit there and thought to yourself, but I'm trying. Why would they put me over here? You know, one of my teachers, that's how she set up her classroom, based on your grade point average. All of the kids that had high grade point averages got to sit to the front. And the further back you went, and she used to make sport of that on a regular basis. That's why you're sitting where you're sitting right now. That's the kind of stuff she would say. So who do you think really wanted to learn in her class? Who do you think had more complaints with counselors in the core, because we had core training, you know, you had this certain group of teachers there, everybody went, because of her. And people said, I ain't going to say the lady name because she's going to wind up being one of y'all aunties. But you know, nobody wanted to really be, even the smart kids didn't want, because they felt subject to being separated. They would say, man, I ain't asked to be up there. You know, and you know, you walk in the classroom with your buddy, you know, me and Melvin been walking down the hall together, then we get in her class and he got to go this way and I got to go that way. We boys, we want, you know how it is in the classroom. You start out that old seating chart, and after a while somebody make a motion and second and ready for the question that we eliminate the seating chart, let us sit where we want. And you know the whole classroom changed? No class is affected with a seating chart. I learned that in the military. You know, we just let the soldiers sit where they want, and they worked together. And they felt comfortable. So you got me sitting over here, I'm in the dumb group. And then how do I get out the dumb group? So if I lead a dumb group, am I really smarter, or did you just move me? I mean, it's crazy. So Jesus says, let them grow together. Wheat and tares, but make sure that we're paying attention and that we're listening to him. He said, because if you get what I'm giving you, you're going to grow. And the trick of the devil is to take from you, which is what the last part of that verse tells us, the trick of the devil is really to take from you a whole lot earlier than God will ever take from you. Because God will always want to give you. The devil will try to take it from you. You don't need that. You already know about that. Why would you go to that class? Why would you sit up there Sunday after Sunday? You already know that. No, you don't. Keep learning. Keep learning. Because Jesus is talking. We all need to be, again, symbolically sitting at the feet of Jesus. So his voice will be the first voice we hear and the last voice we hear. Because what he's saying is, more understanding will be given to you. I like more understanding. Because the more you learn, the more you live. You know, the old United Negro College Fund thing sticks out every time. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, especially related to the things of God. From Genesis to Revelation, you can't beat it. And so he says, make sure. Now let's take ourselves over to Matthew. Go back, turn the pages, and we're going to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. And listen to what he's saying. Because, brothers and sisters, it's tragic when you hear and don't hear. How many of you as parents or remember being a child, these famous words from your mom, dad, aunt, uncle? Did you hear what I said? And when did they usually ask you that? When you were doing something contrary or counter to what they just said. How about this one? Didn't I tell you? And your answer was, because you know what? Yeah. One of my grandmother's famous sayings was, humming you can hear. Because, you know, she would say, when you go, huh? And she said, huh, mean you can hear. So I know you heard what I said. And she wouldn't repeat it. My grandmother had a habit of talking to you through walls. Because I think she had radar. She could tell we were up to no good. And she would be saying stuff to you. And you'd say, huh? She'd say, huh, mean you can hear. Now keep on playing with me. And you know when the old folk say keep on playing with me, it ain't going to go well. So we would just stop doing everything. Well, what did she say? I don't know. Let's just sit here a while and let it settle down because she's coming. My grandmother, as old folk would say, she walked hard. You could hear her coming. She walked hard. And so when you hear, you could tell how she was walking, whether it was police action or y'all come on have lunch. So how many you hear? So Jesus says, it's a tragic condition to hear and not hear. And the church suffers from that because we've decided not to listen. We look at our shoes and we look around the room, and every time something moves, we all point. And I said this before, and it's a humorous point. But if y'all drive like y'all listen in church, y'all going to tear up something. If you drive like you listen in church, you're going to tear up something. And I know that if you drive and get distracted, you're violent. You're a danger to everybody. So he says, you got to make sure that we receive it. And here's what we want to do. We want to receive it in righteousness. Why? It's given in righteousness. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No matter what God is saying to you, he's not trying to kill you. He's trying to bless you. So when God, even if he convicts us, it's given in righteousness, it's to make me better. I don't want to hear that. You ain't got to tell me that. I already know that. No, you do need to hear that. And you know it, but you need to know it again. So Jesus says, make sure that we're receiving what he's saying in righteousness, and make sure that we're taking heed. Heed means to do something about what you heard. Love my neighbor. I'm not getting along with people. That ain't what he said. He said, love your neighbor. See, because when we hear God say certain things, we try to categorize it to our comfort zone. Because as soon as he says it, we have to start thinking global. I'll tell you that if there's one thing I can help you with, I'm going to tell you this. Stop trying to minimize and think globally. Because God says, love your neighbor. And all of us have our prejudice. All of us have our reservations. But if you really listen to what he's saying, you got to think globally. Who is my neighbor? Think about that. And so that's why when we see things and hear things, we can't say to ourselves, they ain't got nothing to do with me. Yes, it does. Because whatever happens to one of us happens to all of us. That's how plagues and diseases take out whole nations of people. If one of us gets malaria, all of us can get malaria. So who is my neighbor? Think globally. So if I got to love my neighbor, that means it's going to change the whole approach to everything I have in life. If my neighbor was thirsty, so think about the places where people don't have water. If my neighbor's hungry, if my neighbor's naked. See, again, hear what God is saying, and it speaks to the whole context of changing everything about how we do everything. People criticize us for some of the little ministry things we do, and we're just trying to think globally. But we're trying to do it locally. And people say, well, why you got it? I don't see why. Yeah, well, because you're not looking at what God is saying. You're not listening to what he's saying. And the reality for us is we do selective listening. We decide what we want to hear, and we take that or we turn it off. God said, no, you got to take heed to it. Come on, you are. Take heed. So then he says, Matthew 13. Everybody in Matthew 13? All right, come over, and we're going to read a little bit of this to set it up for you. We'll start at verse 11. He says this. Then he explained this to them. You have been permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others have not. You know who he's talking to? His disciples. You should be honored that God is permitting you kingdom knowledge. That's why the Bible tells you, I am not ashamed of the gospel. You all are the change agents of this time. We can no longer depend on our grandmama and them. We can't keep singing, give me that old time religion, because them folk is gone now. And you just take just a brief moment and remember the impact that they had on your life. I tell grandmama stories all the time. Why? Because she had impact. I talk about my mom. In the church, I talk about my aunts. You don't hear me talk about a lot of the men in my family because they didn't go to church. They didn't have no impact. Only time I ever saw my grandfather on my daddy's side in church was at a funeral, and he always sit to the back because he wasn't going to stay but so long. He didn't even walk around and view the body. He came and sat back there so my grandmother would see him, And then when he knew she saw him, he was gone. But you saw me sitting up there. I saw you look at me. She said, "But EC, you didn't stay." For what? He did. That's what he always say. If there's one biblical principle he agreed with, he would agree with let the dead bury the dead. He didn't go to, my grandfather never quoted a scripture. When I started preaching, he said, "Boy, I'm proud of you. You're going to be all right. You're doing that preaching thing, huh? That's good, 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 good. Mm-hmm. All right." And he was on his way. If I came to town, he said, "Boy, they tell me you preach up a storm over there. With them camel no filters." I said, "Yes, sir. That's good, 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 boy. Keep on doing what you're doing." Mm-hmm. All right, be seeing you. And at the end of that, my uncles, they never said anything about the gospel. They gave my aunt, when they did the little penny fund and the building fund and the hat parade and all, they gave them the money. How much y'all going to ask me for this time? Because they had other things to do, like go shoot dice or play cards. I didn't get influence from men. So that's why my story is about grandmama and mama and aunts, because they gave me word. And my great-grandmother, even when she was blind, she remembered a lot of Bible. They didn't have a Braille Bible. You know, I mean, that just wasn't the case. But she would say, "Boy, the Lord said." And she didn't quote it verbatim, but she made sense. And you say, "Yes, ma'am." And the fact of the matter is, what God is saying to us is, you got to be change agents, and you got to use your word. You got to know what you're saying about God. And other people listen to you. People will probably hear you better than they hear me. Pastors and preachers can be intimidating to some people, especially to the novice and first-level Christians. You know, they think when the pastor come around, he's going to get me. I've had people come sit in my office, and they look like they're about to pass out. And they ask to see me. You know, they sit down like, "Man, Reverend, I ain't never been in here before." I mean, I'm seeing people literally looking around going, "Man, so this is what it looked like in here. This ain't all bad, but man," I said, "Well, okay, calm down. Everything's going to be all right." And they're sweating. I have to give them towels and stuff. Here. You know, and so for you to say this might be a whole lot better, especially for the new believer. So Jesus says, "Okay, here's what we want to do. We want to give you this opportunity that you can receive and that you will make certain the word of God." Now, he said this, "It's a privilege for you to know it. It's an honor for me to permit you to understand the secrets of the kingdom." Even when he looks at Peter and says, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father purposed you." That little bit of thing that Peter heard was exclusively for him, but look how it's blessed us over the years. You have been allowed to come into a place few really want to go. I'm always so proud of those of you. I was just talking to, Deacon Davis, man, you're on Front Street today. You know, about who comes. I know I could probably stand here and close my eyes and tell you just about who's in Christian Academy every Sunday morning. And then when I was talking to Minister Tyler about, you know, a few minutes ago about the same thing, is that, you know, we're going to have to find a way to go across the board to grow this ministry. We can't get people who just come to choir rehearsal and won't come to Bible study. We can't have people who are just usher and won't come to Bible study. And we can't have people who are in servant leader positions who won't come to Bible study. Because that's how we're going to bring the whole thing up together. And so when there is a consistency, then there is content to the congregation of a church, because we're all agreeing on the same thing. We're all saying the same thing. We're all saying amen at the right time because amen fits, not because amen is what he told me to say. So when he says, "You have been permitted, I have allowed you, I am honored to have you honor me by being secret bearers." He said that, and I'm so thankful to God that he gave me you. Again, you know, you're going to hear Jesus say that in John 17 when he says, I haven't lost any of them. What you gave me, I took care of. The word kept them. Remember, our simple analogy has been this, word and prayer. If we can get our lives hemmed up between word and prayer, we will make it from everlasting to everlasting. We will not lose our crown. So he says, all right. He said, "You've been permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom." He said, "But others have not." Okay, just look around the room. These are the others that have not. They'll filter in here in the next hour or so and look at us like, you know, ain't nothing wrong. Ain't no difference between you. Yes, it is. Because what God wants for all of us needs to be taken in by all of us. How many of you have ever been, well, let's go back. Simple thing. Classroom, you back, let's put y'all all back in about the ninth grade. That's about the middle of the road for learning, almost to the next hard level. And your knucklehead desk mate who didn't come to school the last 3 days, soon as they sit down, look over and you go, what we been doing? Where y'all at? And you look at them and go, are you serious? Or they show up on Friday. Everybody knows Friday's test day. They sit down and go, man, what's on the test? Can't help you. They got suspended or they skip, you know, skip. And then they come in and want you to bring them up to speed. Can't help you. You need to go see her. Because that's the teacher, and I've been learning, and now you want to sit behind me, or move your arm. What? Move your arm. No, no. And teachers learn to alternate the tests. You know, I figured out my teacher's formula. Miss Rutledge was like every fourth paper changes. So if you got this, you got then by the time you got the one that she got, you know, she was slick, she alternated. And so you sit by me if you want to talk about what's number five. See? What's number seven? A. And when she graded them, she knew who you sit by. And so she would call you up and say, Miss Reed, may I see you for a minute? Mr. Mitchell, you come too. And she said, you were copying off his paper, wasn't you? Uh-uh, I ain't copying off his. She said, because all the answers he has, which are correct, all yours are wrong. So I know you copied off his paper. There's no way you could have come up with this answer if you didn't get it off his paper. And because he sits where you can do like this, she said, I watch you the whole time. And, you know, teachers are mean like that. They will watch you cheat just to expose you. It's fine with me because I didn't ever cheat. Or did I not get caught? Which one was it? I don't know. So Jesus says, you know stuff that other people don't know. Let me tell you something. Do it. You do your own little test. Those of you who come to Bible study and Bible learning, get with some of them who don't and start bringing up some of the stuff we've been talking about and watch how they look at you. Just talk about understanding. You say, you know, Luke 8 and 18 talks about, and they'll look at you like this. And then to show you that they don't appreciate it, go, oh, when you started preaching. No, I'm just trying to share something with you. You know, that would have blessed your family the other day if you'd listened to that. What'd you die? I don't need, yes you do, because I've heard you whining and complaining about your kids. I've heard you whining and complaining about your condition. The word would have addressed that in you. God would have encouraged you, and they look at you, because others are not. And you know what Jesus says? I'll give it to any of them. Watch this, he goes on, verse 12. He said, to those who are open to my teaching, more understanding will be given. We just heard that from Luke, but watch what he adds to it. He said, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. Let me ask you this question. Who don't want to be smart? Really? Who don't want to be smart? I mean, most of us desire to be in a group. I mean, we don't want to be nerdy, but man, we sure want to be able to answer that question. You ever been, you remember, again, let's go back to the ninth grade. Remember when they handed out the test and they said, go. And the teacher had a room. A lot of my teachers had this room. Once you finish, you can get up and walk out and go sit in the breezeway. And you ever been sitting there and wondering, how in the heck did they get up so quick? They had an abundance of knowledge. Have you ever been the last one taking the test and thought to yourself, you know, one of these days I'm going to get to walk out of here before she say, put your pencil down. It's an abundance of knowledge. How do you do it? You keep learning. And as you keep learning, you'll change your living. There's a little sign out there. And as you change your living, you become a leader. Any of y'all ever been a teacher's aide? Y'all, yeah. Why? Because they knew you knew. And you could help people. Any of y'all ever been a tutor? Yeah. Because you knew. Jesus says, if you just open up, you know what open up means? Get out of your bed. come to 9:30 training. Get off from work and press one more hour so you can go to Christian Academy and Bible Academy. On your lunch break, instead of just eating a cheeseburger, buy two, come to noonday, and sit here with us because one of them is going to be mine. Brini, I tell you, I eat your lunch. And really, the rest of y'all who come to noonday, if y'all would help her, I wouldn't eat hers all the time. I'd eat y'all's. But since she don't want to bring food, I eat her lunch. She picked good lunches, too. But notice, it's so easy, saints. Listen, this ain't no hard course. Jesus says, if you just open up to me, you just come to the place where I'm teaching. You know what the Bible shows us? Jesus never published a coming attraction, coming soon. But wherever they learned or heard that he was teaching, and you know what was interesting? They walked great distances because they heard that teacher. And you do know he wasn't a resurrected Savior yet. He wasn't even credible to a lot of them. He was just this guy. And they said, we have discovered this. Nobody can do what you're doing if they had not come from God. You know what? That's the same thing they ought to say about you in 2014. That there's no way, Sister Walker, or Sister Brogan, or Sister Brody, that you can do what you're doing if you haven't come from God. And you do belong to God. You are an oracle of God. Listen, it ain't just up to me to put this out there. All y'all got Bibles. I bet you every one of you got at least a foundation of scripture highlighted or written down in a note that you can minister to somebody. And you don't need to have no title for it. You can just say, let me show you what God said, and it blessed me. Because if it ain't working for you, they're not going to be convinced that it'll work for them. That's right. You can't be antagonistic against the movement of the gospel and think that people want to hear anything you got to say about the gospel. You done badmouthed the church for 6 months, and then somebody on your have a crisis, and you go, but let me bless you. I just hear you say you get sick of your preacher, or you tired of it. You can't help me. You don't believe it. Jesus said, if you just open up to me, you know what he says? You will have an abundance of knowledge. How many of you in here cook? Those of you who got your hand up, how many of you actually really look at a recipe or a schedule to cook? You don't. You just know how to do it. You know, if you're from the South, one of the first lessons you learn about cooking in the South is how to make grits. You got to make grits. I'm telling you, if you're in the South, and you, especially if you're a woman, you got to feed your family breakfast. Grits is critical. So we had grit class, and my grandma said, come on here, let me show y'all how to do this. And you don't, listen, the first key for me to know whether or not I eat your food is if I see you measuring and look, I'm like, no, you just got to go for it. And grandma, she would take that, you know, everybody got them little containers on their counter. They go inside, you know, the flour, the grits, the rice. You know, grandma would take that thing and scoop and throw that in there and take that water. And listen, if you don't wash your grits, I don't want them. Please do not just put your grits in your thing and put water in there. And no, you got to, and then pour them and put some more water in and take your hand. See, that's how they cook back home. And then they pour that out. And then when that water look about right, then you put it on there. And so you learn how to do that. And those of you who raise your hand, you don't read no cookbook on how to scramble eggs. You know how to crack eggs. And those of you who cook know that you don't crack your eggs over the other eggs in case shells come out. You crack in this cup, look at it, then you, and that's, I mean, it's cooking. And then you know how to put a little bacon grease in it and all that kind of, but you've learned that. Some of y'all can bake a cake and don't open up nothing. You know how many sticks of butter, you know how much this and how much that, because you learn that. And what happens? People appreciate your knowledge. How many of you have that when the family gathers, they tell you, make sure you bring your this, because you do it better than everybody else. And then Aunt so-and-so looking at you going, well, you ain't the only one know how to make a pound cake. Well, they don't never eat yours. How many of you go to Family Matters and say, Where Aunt Sadie's baked beans at? Over there. They about gone. You better hurry up. And you run over there and go. And Aunt Elizabeth, I got baked beans. You sure do. And you can take them home with you. It's just why? Because you have an abundance. You know how to do it. And the same thing applies in the gospel. When people trust that you know how to do it and what you're saying, they appreciate. When you stand in front of the class or somebody say, well, who teaching that today? Brother so-and-so. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go to that. Why? Because they say, you know what? He know what he's doing. He's pretty smart about that. And the reality is, everybody can. Who then can, Jesus says, anybody. Anybody. If they'll open up to me. And when you have an abundance of knowledge, you don't mind sharing. How many of you have ever said, this is my last one, I'm going to keep it? You know, if it's your last nickel or 50 cents or last, we're very, very conservative about our resources when they're limited. That's why a lot of times we don't share a whole lot because we ain't got a whole lot. And even in knowledge, we do the same thing. How many of you have ever had that old scenario where you're in a classroom and they said, please be aware of the fact, be advised that in this class there are no dumb questions. Just questions that were never asked. And you say to yourself, he'll never know what I don't know. How about this? You get to the end of the course and they say, before we give out the exam, are there any questions? And you notice nobody raised their hand, and then 60 people flunk. And the instructor stands up there. I know I used to do it when they flunked my class. So why didn't y'all ask me that? And they was sorry, I didn't want to be looking stupid. You look stupid with this. Jesus says, if you open up and you let me teach you, you're going to have an abundance of knowledge. And when you have an abundance of knowledge, you can share it with other people. Our problem is we fear commitment to learn. Let me tell you something. I learned this. Again, I used it when I was in the military. I've used it my whole life. Whenever I ask somebody to do something or to help me with something, if their first question to me is, how long is it going to take? I don't want you to help me. Because you've already committed yourself to quit. How long is it going to take us? Never mind. Some things require long-term commitment. How long the class going to be? How many weeks? Never mind. You don't want to be here. Because you're already looking for the end point and you haven't even started yet. Try that in the rest of your life and you'll see that you'll eliminate a whole lot of confusion for yourself. How long is it going to take us? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Because if you're not committed to learn, you know what the disciples never asked Jesus? Well, how long are you going to be here? Well, how far we got to go? They never really asked him, well, how much I got to give up? They just laughed. He said, come follow me. And if you read the commentary, they never said, well, where are you really going? Now, you know, Andrew asked him a good question. Well, where are you staying? That's legitimate. But immediately he said, doesn't matter. Because he left. If you want to learn God, you're going to have to follow it. Jesus said, open up to me. He said, and I'll make you thorough. You will learn every spiritual principle. And the Ephesian letter reminds us, because you're the workmanship of God. And then Peter backs it up by saying, you have been given every spiritual thing you need now to be fulfilled in Christ Jesus. So Jesus says, if you do that, you're going to have an abundance of knowledge. He said, but to those who are not listening, same thing Luke told, same thing Jesus said. Again, there are commentaries that run together. They're the four gospels. He said, they're going to lose stuff. Again, I told you last week, and boy, you should have seen the look of some of y'all faces when I said it, but I'm going to say it again. Just take inventory. You think it not strange that no matter how hard you labor, you can't get ahead? Think it not strange that no matter how much you put in, you can't get but so much out? If you can't keep me first, God said, I will manage your life in such a way that none of it's going to last. Now, some of you are saying, well, it didn't read that way. It is read that way if you pay attention to the context of it. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything will be added. So the counterpoint to that is stuff will be taken away. If God is not first, Stuff's going to be read. Always, my pastor taught me this. Always read the both sides of the scripture. If he's saying I'll keep adding, what do you think he's saying on the other side? I'm going to keep taking away. God wants you to be able to bear the secrets of the kingdom because he needs you. He desires your service. That's why he says, whosoever will, let him come. Again, that's a rich preaching text because we look at that text and simply think it means only in salvation. No, it means in life. He's saying, I'll take anybody because I need to use everybody. So when he says, whosoever will, let him come, that means we take them and then we produce them and we make them productive to purpose in the kingdom. Every one of you can do what I do in your own little way, that God be glorified. If you indeed open up to him. Now watch this. I like this one. He said, that is why I tell these stories. We're at verse 13, Matthew 13, verse 13. He said, that's why I tell these stories. You know when I say that? That's why we keep doing Bible study. That's why we keep having church every Sunday. Because, watch what he says, because people see what I do, but they don't really see. In other words, he said, now we need clarity. When they look at us, what do they see? And what don't they see? How many of you have ever had to tell somebody, you don't know me like that? You don't know everything about me? There's a lot of stuff about me you don't know. Because they see what they want to see. How many of you have been misjudged by being prejudged? How many of you have ever had somebody over time come to you event and say, you know, when I first met you, I thought you were mean. I thought you were stuck up. You know what? You're all right. You know why? Because they finally started to see and pay attention. And they got past their own and started letting you explain yourself. That's why Jesus asked, he said, listen, when you went out in the wilderness, what were you looking for? What did you expect to find? Because they made up their mind what they were going to see. And then when they got there, they were like, whoa. And the same thing applies to understanding the Word of God. Some of us think that Bible study is this. And then they finally come and go, oh, this ain't so bad. I kind of like this. He don't get me in there and embarrass me. That's why I never, if ever, that I can recall, say, well, I need you to read. You know, if it's something I want you to read because it's simple, I don't make you explain it. And we don't do no tests. Jesus said, listen, I'm telling these stories because people are confused about me. And I want them to be clear. And you need to be clear as well. He said, listen, watch this. And I like this. He said, they hear what I say, but they don't really hear. And they don't understand. In other words, they hear me, but they don't hear me. How many of you have ever heard somebody talking and it sounded like Charlie Brown teacher? All you really hear is wah, 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 wah. And they're doing all they know how to do. And then at the end, they say, okay, anybody got any questions? Wah, 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 wah. To you too, sir. And they did that with Jesus because when they asked him questions, they were loaded questions. So they didn't hear what he said. And then they would come back. Even the disciples were honest enough. At the end of the evening, when it was quiet, they would go over to Jesus and say, what did that parable mean? And he said, I knew you were going to ask me. So he said, here is the meaning of the parable. And they got it. But it goes back to what he just said. Not everybody hears what you hear. You've been permitted to get closer. And you can hear, you know, we always like to, well, we don't always, but we do, most of us know the story of the Martha to Mary scenario. You know, Martha's got one thing going, Mary's got another thing going. And Jesus says, listen, I'm not taking from her this learned opportunity. But Martha, Mary, please understand, both of you are doing something important. And every one of us in the body of Christ need to understand that according to our purpose, at a given time, we're not all in the same place, but what we're doing is important. Both of them were attentive to Jesus, but in different ways. And all of us need to understand that. And so he says, well, please make sure that you hear me and hear me. And when you hear me, you'll understand me. And if you don't understand me, in a quiet moment in your prayer time, Lord, what did that mean? God, what are you saying? And wait on him. Many of us wait on God like we're in the line at the drive-thru. As the cars move forward, when our turn comes, we got to make a decision. You ever been in the line at the drive-thru and people can't make up their mind? What does it do to you? It frustrates you. You're sitting there going, come on, this guy, you got it. And then you almost want to stick your head out the window and go, really? Because you can hear him, you know, now they got the thing so loud. You can hear him, wait a minute, what come with that? And you sitting in your car going, it's a combo. It come with fries and a, really, come with this? And then your partner going, calm down, man. It's cool. Ain't no cool, man. How can you not know? Why don't you get out the line? And, you know, by the time you get up there, you have to give a commentary to the little clerk. Go, I bet you're glad he moved. And they be trying to be calm. Going, oh, it's all right, sir. We don't mind. And they thinking like you. I know that's right. How can you not know? And so, again, when we get to our place in Christ, sometimes we act like we got to make it. Listen, God is patient. He don't mind you asking, but, Lord, what comes with that? Well, if I get this, Lord, can I have that too? Because it's your turn. And when you let your request be made known, part of the thing you need to ask God is help me learn. Because you cannot live a principle that you haven't learned. It's impossible. You cannot live a principle that you haven't learned. And you need to live the principles so you get the power and promise that comes with the principle. How many of you ever told somebody that don't go with that? And you hear people misquote the gospel and want God to do something that don't go with that. You got to learn. So when you learn him, learn of me, you can live him. Okay? So he says now, you cannot be ever learning and not learn. You can't be just hanging around forever and don't have nothing. The Holy Spirit wants to give all of us equal footing. Even though we have different gifts and abilities and levels of learning, we're still going to be complementary to the whole body. That's why the hand can't get mad at the foot. And the eye can't hate the, you know, toe. Every part of it's got to work together. So we don't have to be envious of the person who knows Genesis to Revelation and can quote it verbatim. We can benefit from it. If we got the one who all they know is Psalm 23, we can benefit from it. Every one of us have been gifted by God to learn. That's why the Bible says what? Let this mind be also in you that is in Christ Jesus. He think he know everything. Every time he get up, he try to make everybody look bad. No, trying to bless you. And if you're in an environment where a person seems to be lording over you in their teaching moments, maybe you should say something about that. Say, listen, brother, we appreciate what you're doing, but can you kind of bring it down here a little bit? Because you just ran off and left me. You know, you start, again, I always pick on Reverend Simpson. When you started doing Greek and Russian and Hebrew, I don't understand none of that. And you tell me what the Greek means, then okay, I got that. But let me see if I can now time that a little bit. And so he said, well, you got these spiritual gifts, you have these abilities, and you're capable. But you also have to remember that the fact is that I need to grow. So if you just blew me out of the water because you said something and I didn't get it, and then when I raised my hand, you act like, you know, I'm silly because I asked that question. No. I always said to people, you know, and again, I've had a chance to teach a lot of places. When people ask me questions, I try to make that question the most important question in the room. I always say, that's a good one. You know what? And then you work on it a little bit because you don't want that person to feel humiliated or embarrassed or that they're buckethead. And they might have asked you a bucket head question because people do that because that's where they are. But you say, you know what? I think what you're trying to ask me is, and they might go, you know, when you start getting them like that, then you can run with that a little. And then everybody else in the classroom think, well, man, that was cool. Yeah, he didn't make, that was kind of crazy, but he helped him. And you help everybody else. Jesus says, learn of me. And you don't know him. Why? Because you were enemies of God. You were hostile toward God. So you're coming into a whole new world now. And so he said, I got to give you something. So that's why Paul told the church at Corinth, every one of you have spiritual gifts. Everybody's got one. And God's going to use those. And you're going to be beneficial to the kingdom because your gift is essential to somebody else. And so he says, make sure you use it. That's why he says, you cannot neglect your gifting. Don't neglect it. Again, I use the illustration that if you just like that old sister, all she did was kept these little pew areas clean. Nobody should have stopped it. Let her do it because that's where she feels useful to God. And others benefit from it because somebody will come in and say, they need to clean up these pews. Well, when she did her work, they didn't have to say that. How many of you have ever gone in an area of the ministry or seen something happen in the church and said, somebody ought to do something? Maybe because you came to know it. God might be telling you, here's where I can use you at. Since you see so much, here's what I need you to do. Is that simple? I'm serious. Is that simple? You know, again, my military counterparts will tell you that one of the worst things you can do is walk by trash on a military installation. Because they'll say, you saw it. Pick it up. Everybody go on police call. Pick it up. How did you walk by that? Hey, soldier, didn't you see that? I ain't dropped that. Never say I didn't do it. You saw it. Pick it up. It's a waste receptacle somewhere. Same thing happened in the body of Christ. He said, listen, God has given us something, and God is working in all of us. Amen. God, tell your neighbor that. God is working in us. All of us. Every one of, listen, don't get confused because you don't have a title. People who got them don't need them. God is working it out, thoroughly equipping. And again, this is what God desires for you. That biblical principle will be your strength. Is there a word from the Lord? Yes, this is what God is saying. So he said, make sure that we're on point. All right, turn with me to 2 Peter. Go toward the back. 2 Peter. I know, baby, I feel the same way too. Second Peter. Chapter 1. Again, this is one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. I've got a lot of them, but this is one of my favorites because it just speaks so vividly, if you will, or just it's point on. Verse number 2. Say you knew it? Amen. Because I use it because it's one of my favorites. May God bless you with his special favor and wonderful peace as you come to know Jesus, our God and Lord, better and better. You know what better and better mean? Stay the course. You don't want to have a one-time hit or quitter affair with God. You got to get to know. He said, may God bless you. That's Peter's call. That's his prayer to God. May God bless you as you're coming to know. You know what he's saying? It's process. You're learning. You don't have to show up here and know everything. Learn. Just keep learning. One of the sisters asked me last week, and I'm not going to call her name, but I love her dearly. She's my friend. She said, help me to find balance. I thought to myself, and I've been praying for her. That was one of the best requests I've had in a long time. She just looked me in my eyes and said, Pastor, help me to find the balance. Because she wants to live her life, but she won't live her God life. God, that's a great one. And it's right here. As you come to know him, but know what he said? He said that you'll have peace. How many of you just want a little peace? God, if I can just get the peace of knowing you, the peace of God, peace with God, and a peace of God. I made that up myself. Yeah. Peace with God, peace of God, and a peace of God. I got that. I want that. I want to be in him and him in me. So when I say greater is he that is in me, I got a peace of God. I'm reminding myself that I'm not my own. I'm reminding myself that my Redeemer has purchased me, and I tie in with what John says, beloved, we are now the children of God. That's what I want to be. And so Peter says that you get this. Now watch what he says. Immediately thereafter, he says, and we know. That's assurance. When you say, I know, that sounds like strength. How many of you have ever had a chance to say, you can't fool me. I know better. I know that ain't right. It's confidence. And you want to remember that. You want to have confidence. And that's what much learning gives you. There are certain principles in learning that will never, ever change. Let me show you how simple it is. 1 + 1 will always be 2. I don't care who teach it. I don't care how far you go in life. I don't care how smart. You can be Lottie, cum laude, and a real somebody. 1 + 1 for the smart person is the same thing that it is for the novice. Grass will always be green. The chlorophyll in it does its job. It's all of those chemical things working together. You who have yards now looking at the brown grass, just keep looking. You may not have a Scotch lawn. You may not have a lush, beautiful, but it's going to be green. Why? Because the processes of nature turn stuff green. Weeds get green and grow. You don't even have to feed it. It's a principle. Sky's always blue. Water's going to always be wet. What goes up always comes down. It's a principle. And you know what amazes me? How we subscribe ourselves, apply ourselves to principles of the world, but overlook God, who is the principle of everything. Well, you know they say, but then God says stuff too. And you know what I want you to understand? You need confidence. You cannot rightly divide the word of truth without confidence. And I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, you don't have to argue with nobody. It's a principle. You don't have to argue with nobody that 1 + 1 = 2. It is. Now, they may try to change it. Yeah, but the square root, if you square it, and I didn't know, that's not what we're talking about. The principle says 2, and 2 + 2 = 4, and 4 + 4 = 8, and you can run that out till you get tired of doing the numerical fixes. But, you know, the reality is, he says, as we know Jesus better. Watch what's going to kick in. Part of verse 3. His divine power gives us everything. That's what God wants you to have. You don't have to be the pastor to have divine power, everything. Stop cheating yourself. How many times have you heard me say over the years, don't live beneath your privilege? You don't have to walk around here and be envious. Pastor got everything. Them deacons got everything. You have everything. You have a God who is no respect to a person. Every one of you have spiritual gifts. Every one of you have a God who is working thoroughly in your life. You do not have to have a title for God to bless you or to use you. I ain't no preacher. I can't go out there evangelizing. I ain't no evangelist. I'm just a choir member. I'm just on the praise team. You have a God who has given you everything. Watch this now, that you need. Doesn't that not go, again, I told y'all, don't be misusing Philippians 4:19. It is not just about material life. You have a God who will supply all your need. If you tell God your need is more spiritual knowledge, he's going to give it to you. James says, if you lack wisdom, ask God and he'll give it to you. You know what the problem is? You keep asking for selfish stuff. Stop being selfish. Pray to God that God give me something that I can use for you and for you only, God. You know, we do stuff in the church. I always laugh at it, but people want me to do it. They want to dedicate the drums. Okay. Like the drums going to hear us. And know that they only supposed to be played for spiritual purposes. Listen, if you take them drums to the Elks, they're going to sound about the same. And bring them back here, they ain't going to know. The drums ain't going to stand up. I need a chest strap, Pastor. I was at the Elks last night. Y'all need to anoint me afresh. Them drums don't know nothing. But I do because y'all want me to do it. We want to dedicate the new keyboard. Listen, I don't know where Stacy take that keyboard. We keep telling him don't take it. He take it anyway. We ain't going to even argue with it. I don't even care no more. It don't bother me. If he break it, he going to fix it. But you think that keyboard, you think God really cares whether we dedicated the keyboard. We dedicate our children and don't even bring them back next Sunday. Listen. God says, I will give you everything you need for divine life. I will give you the empowerment. You just got to ask me for the right stuff. So if you say, God, I don't understand Bible study. I can't get it. Then ask God to help you get that. God, I want to sing, but the choir kind of crazy. Ask God to give you the wherewithal, the constitution, the power, the staying ability. Because God, this is how I want to use you, and I ain't going to let nobody stop me. God, I ain't got but so much in my bag, and this is what's in my bag. So this is where I want to use it at. This is where I see need for it. Please, God, help me to get over people. Help me. Listen, if I don't pray enough, Lord, it's rehearsal day. Help me to learn this principle of love my neighbor so I can enjoy what I'm doing. I do it all the time. Every Sunday, every Thursday, every Wednesday, every time I got to do some Brookville stuff, my first prayer is, God, shield my eyes from their faces so I can enjoy what I'm doing for you. Because if I look at some of y'all faces, I'll quit. I'd have quit a long time ago. I'm serious. The way people treat me, some things people say to my wife and my kids, and some stuff they slick say to me, I'd have quit. I said, God, don't let me see their faces. Let me see you. I see God in all y'all. Oh, yeah. And he's always beautiful. He's always smiling. And he's always saying, go ahead, Pastor Mitchell. Keep doing what you're doing. I know it's not everybody, but keep doing. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. He's given me everything. You know what? Because I've learned how to ask him for Philippians 4:19 stuff that has nothing to do with a house or cars or money or popularity. I want to be a servant. And I want to be complete and thorough. So he says, the knowledge of God, everything, I know we're close again, but he says, you will have everything that you need in a godly life. Watch this, and I'll pause and we'll come back next week. He has called us to receive his own glory and his goodness. That's you. My name's not there. Deacon Davis's name's not there. So you can put yours there. He has called us. Look at the name and say, that's us. To receive means what? It's yours. How many of you ever had a layaway or a rain check or something like that from a store? And so when they call you, they say, what? Miss Brody, your package is in. You can come and pick it up. That means it's ready to receive. None of you should be living beneath your privilege of godliness and spiritual knowledge. Again, don't you see me with this book in my hand? I'm not standing here trying to quote stuff out of memory. I can read. Thank God. So when you want to read, read. Say, well, you know, God said. And if you're not sure, pray. And ask, say, God, you know, you said, I can't remember exactly where it is in the word, but Lord, I know you said something along these lines. You know what God does? Sends a spirit of correction and confirmation. God is not going to get mad at you if you can't quote a King James version because you're now reading the NIV. And God doesn't really care if you quote anything back to him, but other than, now I always said, here are the magic words, not really magic because you need it, but these are my approach words to God. Lord, you said. And I say what I'm as much of it as I can remember, because I've never heard him say, you must rightly quote the word of God. He said, rightly divide the word of truth. In other words, segment it so you can use it. Rightly divide means segment it so you can use it. Put it right, Lord, right now, I need to get over this. So this is what I heard you saying about this. And then later on in the day, something else coming. Rightly divide. Lord, right now, I need a word that helps me deal with this. Because I just got the craziest phone call, and Lord, I ain't in it. So I'm in this. And you know what God does? Thoroughly equips and brings all things together for the good. See? Now you learn how to link scripture. God causes all things to work together. So rightly dividing, segmenting, in the conclusion of the matter, God's going to make all of it work. That's why you shouldn't be walking around with your head down. That's why you should be lifted up in the King of Glory. See, because all it's going to work for you. Death is going to work for you. Sickness is going to work for you. Unemployment is going to work for you. Terminations is going to work for you. Oh, no, in a season, they are the worst thing that could happen to you right now. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus said, in this particular moment, God, if it's at all possible, can we miss this? And what did he say? But nevertheless. In other words, he said, you know, this is hard right now. But God, I know you're going to make this work. And that's what you got to learn. Because all of it is working for your divine life. Nothing is designed to destroy you from God. Now, the enemy, we know you have one. That's his job. And you can say that, devil, you busy right now. God, I need you to help me fight this off, because this is some crazy stuff right here. Because that's what the devil does. The devil comes to destroy and divide and make you miserable. How many of you ever had them kind of days? And you say to yourself, this ain't nothing but the devil. I started out this morning saying I'm going to lift up and magnify, and here I get to the church, and here we go. That's what the devil does. Or you sit around, and how many of you have ever had a wonderful plan for your mate, your spouse, your person you love, and about two-thirds in, they mess it up? You say, now, I was sitting there planning, I'm going to have a beautiful evening, and this fool come home to me, how come this in the driveway? Why the kids left all that stuff out? And you look at them like, are you sick? Don't you see these candles and this little outfit? You done missed all this now, because you're wearing my toys in the driveway. And then later on they say, well, why was you dressed like that? No, homie, don't worry about it. It was all going to work together for your good. God loves you so much. Amen. Okay, we'll come back next week, and we're going to talk next week. I got one, two, three, I think I put four statements that we want to work with. And I'll tell you what, there are four statements we're going to work on. One, you always got to be mindful. Second thing we're going to work on is that you not be ignorant, because you don't need to be ignorant. The third thing is that you learn how to be diligent. And the fourth thing is you got to learn how to be aware. Okay, we're going to work on those four things in the coming weeks. We got five Sundays this month, which is pretty cool. So have I helped you a little bit? Okay, we're going to stop right there. Let's pray together. Amen. Father, we thank you so very much, and we bless you for blessing us. And God, we have so much to live and learn as you have appointed for us. God, let us always remember that you have the best plans. And God, because you have plans for us, you will bring those plans to pass. God, we thank you for the hour we have spent together. And God, we pray that we have gained much, and gained, Lord, so much so that we can share with others who lack what we have already learned. God, that you'll use us in our several capacities of life along our journey, that we'll meet those who desire and, Lord, who are determined to hear a word from you. God, we thank you so very much for the joy of learning. And pray, God, that we will be afforded again the opportunity to come yet again and hear what you are saying to the church. There is a word from the Lord, and we are eager to hear what you are saying. Bless this people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless you. We're going to give to the church.